What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 130 of the Gamecast. Yes, this is a milestone, I think. 130. That's pretty awesome. Not only that, Tess is back in all of her glory.
With all of my transplant face. Hey.
Tess is back. And we have a special guest with us today. We have the homie Romeo, the good guy, with us, and just a little bit about Romeo, at least from me. I'll let him talk in a second. But at least from me, I feel like Romeo is what you see is what you get. And thankfully for everybody in his general, you know, circle, a very good guy. Now, a little bit of an introvert like myself, but also ends up being the life of the party like myself. makes dope content. Dope videos on YouTube. He streams, and he's also a loved member of all of our communities. If you remember, two episodes ago we had Roni Shogun on here. I actually met Romeo through show, and from there we became friends, and it's been awesome. So definitely, I'm gonna have all the information down below that you can check out his streams, check out his content. Really, really great stuff. And you're going to see on this episode why he's such an awesome person. But I wanted to bring him on because I felt like I talked about with Romeo. I promise I'm going to let him talk. But I promised that I wanted to bring him on, but I wanted to do so when I felt like the topics were good in a sense of him being knowledgeable of the topics and being a good fit. I don't want to just invite people and then we just ramble. You know what I'm saying? So without further ado. Right. I mean, sometimes, you know, like during our intro, Kenny rambles, whatever. So anyways, Romeo, how are you feeling today?
Brother, I'm feeling amazing. I hope y'all are feeling good as well.
Yes, I am doing awesome. And just being able to podcast to episode 130 is pretty cool because I've been a part of other podcasts and we didn't make it this far. We did not make it this far. You feel me? And just thinking about like all the accolades and things that we've done. And by accolades, I mean personal accolades in a sense that we have people listening a little bit behind the curtain. So, you know, YouTube will give you your numbers for the month, right? And so in terms of viewage or whatever, we are actually a little lower this month. However, the view time is longer. What that means is the people who are actually listening to our stuff are watching the entire thing as opposed to, you know, jumping out. So it basically means that people who are watching are staying around. Very, very good to have. That means we're doing something right. You know what I'm saying? So the trick is just to getting, you know, our content in front of more people and all that. But aside from looking at numbers and obsessing over things, I've been playing Marvel Tokon this week. It has been great. Marvel characters beating each other up, having a good time with my friends. This is one of the times in a long time where I feel good playing a fighting game. Usually I'm like, the fighting game genre is one of my favorite genres, but for whatever reason, I just haven't felt the urge to compete. It's been like, oh, this is fun for a little while. And then a plethora of reasons I give up on it, whether it's not running properly when it first drops, or I just don't like the mechanics or whatever it is. Maybe my old fingers aren't working right. I don't know, but for whatever it is, Tokon has it. It could be Marvel, you know, it could be the fact that my friends are all playing it and we're all having a good time. I don't know, but I'm having a blast. Aside from that, speaking of X-Men and Marvel, I caught up on X-Men 97 and it's still doing the thing, where it's like solo episodes that are like really, really good, but holistically it's like, I don't know. But this previous episode was fire. It was really good. I was happy to see a certain someone come back. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who haven't seen it, but it was pretty dope. So definitely go check that out. Romeo, what have you been up to this week? Oh, and also, you know, if you want to introduce yourself further, see, I told y'all I was going to ramble a little bit.
You're not rambling. You're entertaining the people. I'm Romeo, the good guy. I'm an editor and content creator on Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. I do all the things. Former military service member. I was in the Army for about 10 years before I started doing the content creation thing. I have been playing Tokon as well. I'm sadly addicted to the game. I'm not as good as Kenny. Kenny Kenny and his characters, especially Magneto, are the bane of my existence. I attempt to play the game, and then Kenny's like, "Oh, you're trying to win? Oh, let me put a stop to that. Let me just make sure that doesn't happen."
Not necessary.
But no, I love Kenny. Kenny's the best. Not only as a content creator, but as an individual, as a person as well. Besides Marvel Tolkien, I actually started X-Men 97. I am only on episode 2.
Okay.
I think I got my son also addicted to it. We started watching it together. And then I wanted to switch and do some work and do some editing. And he was like, "Daddy, what are you doing?" Because I was putting on Paw Patrol and switching off X-Men 97. He was like, "Daddy, no, I want to watch more X-Men." I was like, "Oh, my heart." "Oh, son, you don't know what that means to me." But no. But besides that, nothing, just working, keeping my head down, staying out of trouble.
Sounds good. And you, Tess, what you been up to?
Same thing, which is, you know, the thing that I hate.
Work.
You know, the thing that allows me to have electricity.
Right.
Because I can't steal it from my neighbors, unfortunately. Even though I wouldn't do that if I could. But shout out to my high school bestie, because her birthday was the other day. So we had
bestie
brunch. Yay, today. We don't even get to see each other very often, but you know, we got to do that. And that was nice. And that was fun. And talking about old times and talking about old activities and basically nothing else except you actually know, which is rewatching Interview with the Vampire. Because that's the only thing that I have space for. I forgot that and I do this a lot. We discuss this. I forget that shows are on, and I forgot that I was watching X-Men. I forgot. And so even though we were just talking about it a week ago, I think I may have missed 2 episodes.
I think I have,
because what I'm doing right now in between my I need to watch Vampire Lestat, so like I have to, that's what keeps me going and failing. But then like when I'm like, okay, I'm good, like let me just watch something else that I don't like, that I don't care about, which is Game of Thrones, Hot D. So I'm mentally prepared to watch Hot D, knowing that I don't like this show, but I have to watch it. So I put on Hot D. And then I'm like, this show is trash, but I am caught up. I've been watching it. I've told you offline how much I really do not like the show. We still have to get back on that conversation. We got to get Brandon back on here. We have to have that conversation.
And Dre,
I do not think this is a good show.
Okay. She's very, very blunt about that.
I don't think this is a good show. And that is what I watched. Did I watch that yesterday before I went to sleep? I don't remember. But I did that.
I think that's dope, though. At the very least, you're watching it to be able to say whether or not it's good. Because a lot of people are like, well, for me, I'm like, I'm done with all Game of Thrones after that final season. And I'm told, but I won't speak on the new stuff because I haven't seen it. Whereas a lot of people online have been speaking on it. And you can tell a little bit, but they saw one episode and it was like, I'm never going to watch this, but I'm going to speak about everything that happens. You are at the very least watching it. It's kind of a hate watch, but you're watching it. So at the very least,
I have to. I need to keep this going. Like I think I definitely told you my good sis, my one of my closest friends, passed away last year, and we used to watch a lot of shows together. We've hate watched several shows.
Yes,
and I have to keep it alive because she would be right here watching it with me, and we would watch it, and then we would discuss it. And I got to keep it alive. I got to let her know what Amond is doing. Okay. Like I have to, like our favorite anime character villain who is walking around King's Landing and Harrenhal acting a whole hot fool.
Yes.
I let her know. So I have, I for us, for the bond, I got to watch it. And I will. I'm going to keep watching this show until it's finally over. So I can just continue to be like, I've never liked this show from the beginning.
And you are committed.
I'm committed. And the only reason why I believe the show actually it has been successful, well, definitely first season was successful because it was a better show at that point, but it was because it was better than
Game of Thrones,
the show that shall not be named, which was Rings of Power. And
that one. Oh my gosh.
That one. Because people were all over there like, oh my God, this is, and I'm like, this is literally not that good. It's really not. But people were like, oh yeah, it's so good. I'm like, are we watching the same show? Because I'm like, I just, okay, you know, maybe I'm not objective. Maybe it's just subjective. Hey, this, but I'm like, it's good because that show sucks and they're coming on at the exact same time and they're battling each other. That show is so bad that everybody's like, this is great. This is, and I'm like,
it props it up, huh?
Yeah.
And now that show's not on there. That show's coming on in November. Look, we are in season 3 of bad writing. It was always bad writing. Now it's just worse. It's just worse. And I think that it's just the cracks are there because the bad story that y'all try to get away with in the beginning is just falling apart at the seams. That's just how I feel. And I don't have to be
We will have a in-depth conversation about that on the episode. Cause I'm just gonna let y'all talk because I refuse. I was gonna say though, it's interesting because your hype for Interview with the Vampire has had so many people. We've had comments of people just like, I have to go see the show now because you and Ash. So yeah, your voice carries. Your voice carries.
I'm one of those people. I watched that episode and I was like, you know what? Maybe I should start rewatching that. Because me and wifey, I watched episode 1 and I was like, Oh, is this for me? I don't know if this is for me. And then after watching you and y'all talk passionately about it, I was like, maybe I should try watching it again. I'm on episode 4 now and I'm kind of locked in. I think I want to finish it and then move on to Lestat because I'm kind of locked in. That's all I'm saying.
You made it to episode 4 and you made it to the end of episode 4. You are locked in.
I'm kind
of
locked in.
Episode 4 is the turning point of season 1.
Oh, see, you got someone else hooked. You got someone else hooked. I'll be there eventually. I got too much stuff to catch up on. I'll be there eventually. But yeah, without further ado, let's jump into the topics of today. One of the first topics we want to talk about is the new GTA trailer going to Netflix. I have mixed feelings about this, and it's not all of what people think, right? I saw Jason from Bloomberg talking about this, and he was saying that how it's not a big deal. They're only going to have the exclusive trailer for like 6 hours. Then it's going to go on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. I want to say some people have likened it to when IGN will get an exclusive trailer or exclusive hands-on or whatever, and it'll be all over their website, and that's the only place you can get that information. The difference, though, with this, while I understand him saying it's not that big of a deal, you don't have to subscribe to see it, and it, you know, on and on, I do feel like this sets a precedence for certain things, and not necessarily for subscribers. Everyone's like, oh, they're trying to get you to subscribe. No. GTA is such a big thing. It's almost like when they were doing the, actually, I think it is when they were doing the live television shows or the boxing matches or when they brought WWE on there. Initially, it's not for that. Initially, it's a test bed. So before we had the football games, the NFL football games on there, we had some other stuff that was live. They just wanted to see how it goes, test the water, right? And in this sense, they're not looking for, and this is all assumption, they're not looking for subscribers. They're looking for how many eyes hit this trailer before it hits YouTube. They want to see for 6 hours how many people can be glued to this. The reason being is that they can then charge for this. I believe Netflix, I don't know if this was a partnership that was like mutual. In my brain, I'm thinking Netflix is like, hey, this is the biggest thing ever. We're also dabbling in video games. So how about we get GTA on Netflix and we have GTA and Netflix in the same title, right? How many eyes can we get? We could take that data and send it out. And then that data will go to other publishers or other, not even just publishers, but, you know, maybe film studios or whatever the case may be, and be like, hey, big thing happened. We had all these eyes on Netflix, and it didn't have to be exclusive forever. It was like a limited time. And that, whatever the data they get back from that is going to determine what they do next. And I think the next thing might be an issue, not right now. Because I agree with Jason in the sense that I can wait 6 hours. Mm. Like, I have Netflix, but if I didn't, I'm not subscribing for a GTA trailer. It's just not happening. Like,
trailer.
And people don't need the GTA trailer. It's broken records in terms of how many people have are pre-ordering it already? No trailer. You know what I mean? And so you don't need Netflix for this. I think this is just for Netflix to get as much data as possible for the people who are already subscribed. Mm-hmm. What do they want to look at? What are the age brackets and all this information? And then sell it. And then sell it. And I think eventually that could lead to something negative, where you are behind a locked fence, if you will, in terms of content. That's not directly owned by Netflix already. You know what I mean? But what are you guys' thoughts? I know I sent it, over to you guys, and it's been a hot topic for however long. But how do you guys feel about the GTA, GTA 6 trailer exclusive on Netflix? Tess?
I have no feelings.
All right. And that was Tess. Romeo.
I have feelings on it. I think it sets a bad precedent. I, like you mentioned, they moved WWE over to Netflix. I am a big pro wrestling guy. So I have Netflix, but I was already going to watch it again because WWE is on it. When WWE moved to Netflix, you could see there was a shift. There was a change in things. There was more advertisements. There was more marketing. There was a lot more change of the product. And it started slowly. It started slowly with the special events. And then there's just so many commercials. There's just so many advertisements. There's adverts within the actual show. I already had a bad taste in my mouth with GTA because you're putting a game out here and we don't know much about the game, right? I understand that on Netflix, it's just going to be 6 hours. It's just going to be 6 hours. But like you were saying, Kenny, this is just a testing bit. They want to see what buttons they can push, how many eyes they can get on that particular product for the next move. If you've seen me talk about GTA 6, I think it's insane the things that this game is doing and the marketing trends that are going on, because you have people willing to pay $80 to $100 for a game they haven't even seen gameplay on.
We haven't
seen gameplay on the game. What have you seen? You've seen a cinematic trailer like, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago of what could be in the game?
Right.
You've seen a copy of the cover of the actual game. But there's not going to be a disc. You're going to have the pretty title, but there's no disc in the box. It's insane to me.
Yeah.
The things that Rockstar is getting away with. I understand. I love the games that they have produced in the past, but that doesn't mean that this game is going to be good right now when it comes out. And it sets such a dangerous precedent for other companies, because if people are willing to pay $80 to $100 an actual utility bill on a game and they've seen nothing on it, what precedent does this set for EA, Take-Two, for all these other gaming companies? Oh, Rockstar did that. Y'all were okay with that. Y'all pre-ordered it. We saw it did record numbers. You saw nothing on it and you bought the game. We can do that too. And I think
EA
that's
don't
scary.
Need no EA don't need no influencing. They're already
doing
what they're doing.
EA is bought, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I agree to an extent. It kind of comes down to what happens with Netflix. Because I think Rockstar gets away with a lot of stuff because Rockstar's pedigree, similarly to Naughty Dog and a couple other, legacy studios. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen this with like a new game, and granted we'll have more visuals for it, but we'll see a new game drop from an older legacy developer. Mm-hmm. And they'll have collector's edition, right? And it didn't make sense to me because I'm like, this is part one of a series. Like, it's not like part five where I'm like, oh, part one through four were great, so I'm going to get the collector's edition of the final. It's like, no, we're making a brand new game. It's kind of like if Game Freak does the Pokemon games. They just released a new game not too long ago. And if they're like, I think there is a collector's edition, I think, but if they were to release a collector's edition and be like, hey, come get this. I've seen people buy those things. I used to work at GameStop. they'll buy them. And I'm like, you don't know anything about this game. Like, why are you spending? I think the difference, though, is the scale. GTA, it's a ridiculous amount of people who pre-ordered it with no information. And while I think it's going to be a good game because it's Rockstar and how long they've been developing it, it's still like, wow, like, you haven't seen anything? Like, nothing? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm not necessarily worried, but I'm also like, it makes me not feel great. And this is along the lines of all the announcements that's been coming as of late, where we're getting rid of physical discs and PlayStation taking people's films away and, you know, the price of games going up and all, it's like then RAM going up and all this other stuff. So all this combined, it just, that is what I'm kind of worried about in a nutshell. Like, game is going to get to the point where, and it's already a luxury thing to do, where it's like only rich people, you know, you might buy one game a year. I'll be back to like before I was in college where I can only buy one game a year. That's what it's going to be like. You know, shout out to rental services if they come back, because good grief, it's going to be nuts. But yeah, I don't think people should necessarily burn down Netflix. It's a smart business move for Netflix, I think. Consumer wise, if you're a part of the, you know, if you're in that circle, whatever, wait six hours or whatever the case may be. But I'm just hoping the wrong lessons aren't learned from this. I don't have much hope in that regard, but I'm just hoping kinda that it doesn't do that, but whatever. The next topic we want to talk about was Japan having beef with the US, and not the type of beef that you would think. This is different.
Not Wagyu?
No, not at all. It's kind of low grade, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you definitely don't want to have it well done, you know, but at the same time, it's not going to fill you up. It's really not. Oh, you're going to have some potatoes on the side. You're going to need something. You feel me? Just have the A1 sauce just in case. No, I think that that's terrible. I think that this is really interesting to me because I kind of agree with Japan on this. Yeah. Even though a lot of people have been seeing, I've been seeing online, they think it's a no burger. What's happening is, you know, the U.S. government official social channels are using anime and game-related memes for political purposes. And Japan, and actually I think other countries too, don't like that because of what it says to everyone when they do that. So for people who are like, this is a nothing burger or whatever the case may be, remember when President, that guy, would go and he would have a speech or whatever, but he would come out to somebody's music playing. Mm-hmm. And then that person would come online and be like, hey, we didn't give them permission to use our music, blah, 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 blah. There's not a whole lot of that they can do legally in a sense, but they still want to make the statement because they don't want anybody to misconstrue him using that music as their support for the stuff that he's doing, right? So flip it over to Japan. Granted, that's another country, but still with, you know, the president using Naruto, you know, memes or whatever the case may be, you know, you know what I mean? And then depicting like ICE activities or whatever the case may be, Japan's like, we're not cool with that. Could you not do that? And they actually asked them multiple times, could you please not use our likenesses for this stuff? And it's not just Naruto, it's like Mario and some other stuff. And it's like, you know, they're being ignored or whatever the case may be, right? And while that's not going to necessarily, you know, they're not going to respond with missiles or anything like that. Yeah. However, we're already in war. And, you know, if you're pressing certain buttons, I feel like people are less inclined to take your side when everything blows up, essentially, for lack of a better term. What do you guys think about that? Romeo, what do you think about this interesting development with social media and the yeah, just randomness of it all?
It's a lot, man. I think that there could be more tact in it. Like, if somebody literally requests, hey, please don't use my music, hey, please don't use my imaging, because you're saying that this could be possibly promoting something and they don't want to be involved. Like, I literally see I saw a meme of a Spider-Man webbing down individuals in support of ICE. And I thought that was like the grossest thing ever. And they literally did that because the movie Brand New Day was just coming out. And like, you're saying that as Spider-Man, it supports ICE. People don't want to be involved in stuff like that. People don't want their properties to be involved in that. And by saying, no, please don't do this, I think you should respectfully respect their decision and be like, no, pull out of this. I don't want my property in this. And it's kind of gross that they're continuing to do it with the cartoons, with the Naruto images, with the Mario stuff. It's a gross use of power, and I hope it doesn't lead to anything else.
Yeah, and it's like I saw the one I was reading just now. They use Ash Ketchum from Pokemon in terms of like catching all the people here, whatever the case may be. I just think it just looks bad from a government, like social. Like, what are you doing? It's when I look for those sites, I look for like, you know, not necessarily breaking news, but like, hey, our government is going forward with whatever law, or, you know, here's an update about the war overseas, or, you know, something important, but not like they did that with the Drake album. Like when, you know, he had the ice on the front or whatever the case may be, Iceman or whatever, they just put ice or whatever. And it's like, are you a child? Like I feel, and granted, I mean, I guess that fits, but I feel more embarrassed than concerned, I guess. I'm like, what are you doing?
Like, if you look at their post, it literally looks like a child is posting from this. Because I was scrolling on that. I was like, these memes and stuff like this, it does not look like a grown individual running a political account is posting this. It looks like they gave this to a grad student and was like, go nuts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Tess, your thoughts?
A little bit. It's stupid. And it's also annoying. I don't want to see this. It's like, that's actually just how I feel. I'm like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see. I think it's ridiculous. The president decides he wants to walk out to one of his stupid speeches to, you know, music from people who don't even support him. And then they're sending emails and they're, you know, cease and desist and everything. It's just like, nobody should have to do that. It's also, it's just like, it's also gross in the sense that you're such a dick. You're such a horrible individual. Your whole campaign, your whole cabinet is just full of trashy people that you don't even know how to go about the right way to get permission to do. You're just doing right. It. And that's like, that just bothers me a lot, because anyone who wants to utilize media has to gain permission to use it. You can't just do that.
Well, in a sense, and this was the part that, which is what I was saying, is not exactly illegal. Like, if you are doing a parody, you don't have to get permission. Satire, right. You don't have to get permission. You know, the problem is with this is that it's a political thing, right? So it's kind of like The Onion. The Onion is a satire site. If The Onion started posting real news, it would be a problem, because you'd have to be able to decipher between real and fake.
Right.
So the fact that you're a government, like official, you know, thing doing these memes and stuff is detrimental to your stance as a government official, like official page or whatever the case may be, because it's supposed to be real. It's supposed to be important, and you're playing on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like you said, that's embarrassing. Because it's indicative of our country. And while I don't claim this fool, other countries look at that and they don't say, oh, it's just him. They're like, oh, the US is on some BS.
Yeah. They don't know that we didn't vote for him.
Right. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, we didn't know. We didn't, because they're hearing like, oh, the majority of you voted for him. So it's like, no.
Just so y'all know that we didn't. Okay.
No. Not at all.
We literally didn't.
Not at all.
We didn't.
As someone who's been overseas before, I can attest to the fact that foreigners genuinely believe, like, say, for instance, we look at Twitter and we say we see all the negative stuff that's going on. Foreigners look at us in that light. Oh, we just see the majority of you talking like this. And with everything going on in social media and Twitter and how popular negative topics are, that's other people's, that's the world's view on America. And regardless of how a lot of us feel, that's what they see. And that's unfortunate. Yeah.
The next thing we want to talk about was The Simpsons. I thought this was interesting because it brings up a more broader conversation about legacy shows and shows that are ongoing. But The Simpsons, based on Nancy Cartwright, who is the voice of Bart Simpson, she was saying that because they recently got renewed to season 40, I believe. Mm-hmm. She was saying that via an interview that she's assuming that it's going to end at 40, that the right. series will no longer be a thing after season 40. And people, she was asked, you know, can you confirm that? And she's like, I can't. You know, if everybody's living, I can see us definitely doing it, you know, doing it past 40, which right is, now. That's a huge statement in and of itself, considering how long this yeah, show has been on. You know what I mean? But she was like, if there was a moment to end, 40 would be like, this is the time that she would call it. And I don't know if that's a desire, because she's had this job since 89. So
you retire.
I mean, maybe you want to retire. You feel me? But at the same time, the notion that she would still keep going if she was asked to do it also is like, okay, interesting. And so with that news, I was wondering, how do you guys feel about The Simpsons ending? And the idea of a legacy show ending. So if you think about legacy shows, we have like, you know, any of the SVUs, you know, whatever they are, all the letters. we also have the soap operas that have been going on forever and a day. I think Grey's Anatomy has hit that, you know, that level of been on for as long as I can freaking remember. What other shows? There's a bunch of shows that have like well over 30 seasons or whatever the case may be that are still going and people are still watching. You know what I mean? And how do you guys feel about not only The Simpsons possibly ending and what that can mean just for that series, but then also legacy shows altogether? Do you think they should end? Have they been going on for too long? That sort of thing. What do you guys think? Tess, what do you think of that?
Hey, well, first of all, it's still kind of amazing that The Simpsons is still on.
Facts.
Like sometimes I'm like, oh, it's still on. It's still running. There's still new episodes. Because even if there weren't new episodes, it would still be on in my mind. Not new episodes, but it still comes on.
It's syndicated.
At the same time it's syndicated, it's still there. So whether it has new episodes or not, honestly, in more recent years of my life, isn't really affecting me in a sense. But when every time I learn that the show is still on and it's still having new episodes, there's kind of like a warmness, like a happiness. I'm like, oh my God, our show is still on. The show we grew up on.
Right.
I thought when I read the part where she said, oh, you know, if everybody's still alive, then yeah, sure. And in my mind, I was just like, God, that's so like, I mean, it's realistic. Like people die.
Right.
Sam Neill just died. I was literally distraught. And I was at work and I was like,
right.
And then my Xfinity rep was there and she was like, oh my God. And I had to Google real quick. She didn't know who it was. Still didn't know who it was. She don't know who anybody is. She don't know who Vanna White is either. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Like, she's special. Young people. We don't know. We gotta help them because they can't help us.
No.
We gotta help them help us because when we're old, they're gonna. Anyway, moving on. So she said that, and then I was like, "Well, wait a minute. But what's her face? Did die? The teacher? She did die. She actually did die." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness!" And I'm like, "Well, you know, yeah, people. If everybody is alive, yeah, sure, keep doing it. Just you know, for the togetherness and the love. Because what happened with Archer? People really did die. And then it's like, oh, well, you can't do this show without Mallory. You can't
right.
do this show without Jessica Walter. Like, and then they didn't." You know, yep. And I mean, they did, but
just like one extra season, I think.
Yeah, an extra season. Yeah. And I was just like, oh God. But like, you know, I'm happy for them and I'm happy for us that we still have it, even though I don't actually watch it anymore. But I mean, if somebody just gave it to me and said, oh, by the way, here's the last few years of The Simpsons and you have, I would be like, oh, cool. Yeah. I think I don't know where to find it, which is a weird thing to say. I just said I'm not trying hard because, again, Interview with the Vampire. But other shows, again, like Grey's, like legacy shows. Grey's has been on for almost 20 years now. Grey's started in 07, I believe. And yeah. And I didn't actually start watching Grey's until the Hospital Shooter season. And that particular episode was my first episode. So I had to ask myself if I was willing to actually go and watch it for real, because that episode was so traumatic. And I still remember what was happening in that time frame. Like, I remember picking up the phone and calling my friends. We were on freeway. And I was like, this is the show you guys always want me to watch? Like, what? You know?
It's traumatic.
Extremely traumatic. I was crying when I picked up the phone, and we was on a commercial break, and then it was like, oh, it's coming back on. Okay. We'll call back. And then I'm watching. I didn't even know who these people are. And I'm crying because what? Like, Bailey is dragging a body into trying to get into the elevator so that she can save his life in an OR, and then he just bleeds out and dies. What the hell kind of trauma? It's like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. Maybe all these legacy shows need to just go because you're hurting me. It's bad for my soul. And we really do feel this way because, okay, let's talk about actual soap operas, daytime soap operas, not the evening soap operas. The daytime soap operas, okay? First of all, they shouldn't exist because I watched those when I was a child, and it really, really had a hold on me in my formative years. And I'm a totally messed up person because of General Hospital and One Life to Live and All My Children, because the ABC soaps had me hooked. I was on One Life to Live, not One Life, Days of Our Lives at a period of time, okay? I was there. I was locked in, dude with the eye patch and shit. And then he ended up going to General Hospital. I was locked in. And then I stopped all those other channels. It was just ABC because that was the only channel that really our antenna could get. So, I mean, you know, just facts. Those shows had a hold on me, and then I was addicted. And then now they're still running. I mean, just Days of Our, no, wait, General Hospital is the only one. And then like all the actors from the other shows are now in that show. And it's so weird. I'm like, wait, who are you supposed to be playing?
I think Snoop was on one of those shows, actually.
Probably. And then people die. Just like we're talking about. She's like, if people are still alive. No, they literally died. Lila died. Edward died. The guy who played Asa Buchanan died. The guy who played on All My Children, the one who played the twins, Stuart and Adam, very, very, very important role. When he died, I was like, damn, oh my goodness. I mean, mind you, they had killed Stuart years prior. I guess he just didn't want to play two people anymore. Okay, back to the subject at hand. These legacy shows. It is definitely emotional. Like, these shows take you through these roller coasters, and then you are living your life while these shows are happening. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You are growing with the show. You can literally say, I've been watching this show since I was 5, and you're 45 now, you know? And then, yeah, hey, I feel a lot of ways, but also what we talked about last week was me not feeling so that I could regulate my emotions. Same.
So it's an emotional journey. So then if that's the case, will you feel bad if it goes off?
You know, I don't think I think that I'm going to feel something like, oh man, no new episodes. But like I said, I haven't consumed a new episode of The Simpsons in years. And what I do consume probably is the little bits when, you know, of course, they, you know, their social commentary is always like on point. And so like, if somebody's like, oh, by the way, this episode just happened, this is, you know, and then I see it and I'm like, I mean, they've always been able to predict the future. Comedians always know something. You know what I mean? Like, these writers always know something. It's almost like, what was that? Stranger Than Fiction, where she was actually writing the story as it was happening.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But no, yeah, I think I would feel a type of way and probably hold a little space in my heart because the show was so important to childhood. You know, it was something that everybody watched. And, you know, if you weren't able to talk about it at school or something when the new episodes came out, like, oh, you're not cool. So there's that, but I mean, we're not experiencing that anymore. At least we shouldn't. We are literally in our 40s, and if we are experiencing this in our 40s, you're in an abusive relationship with whoever is making you feel on that way, and you might need to seek help.
Well, I don't know.
Call the authorities.
Because the way people feel about some of those shows you mentioned earlier,
I'm just saying.
Game of Thrones and such, yeah, they'll make you feel a way. You haven't watched it yet? How could you?
Look, like, because
I'm not watching it. I'm not. It's just not. Romeo, what about you? How do you feel about the Simpsons possibly ending?
I think I feel the way same way as Tess. I grew up on The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. When I didn't have cable TV, I was still able to watch The Simpsons because it was on network TV.
Yep.
Like Tess said, we're in our 40s and we're able to not be as, well, sometimes I am connected. I fell off the Grey's Anatomy bandwagon. I was one of those, but that show had too much trauma for me. I couldn't deal with it all. Kind of one of the reasons I haven't got back on the what's the other show with the Zendaya? I couldn't get back on that show.
Oh, Euphoria!
Don't even.
There's
go
so
back
much.
To
there's so much trauma, and I'm like, I have real life that has right. trauma and hurt and stuff. Right. I don't know if I can deal with your trauma and my trauma and
right.
But, I have a fond memories of watching The Simpsons and growing up with them. I can remember certain episodes like the Michael Jackson episode where I was when I first seen that episode.
Yeah.
I would feel sad if I wasn't able to consume it anymore. I actually watched a couple of newer episodes earlier this morning and they were the social commentary is still there. The play on politics and everything, it's still there, but it doesn't hit the same for me. I'm older and I don't consume Simpsons as much. So I would feel sad if it left. But as far as legacy shows, if it goes, it goes. If it goes, it goes.
I think part of me would feel a way. Sorry, I'm trying to fix my camera. It's being a jerk right now with I don't know why it does. Nothing happened. We were cool. And then it was like, I just don't want to focus no more. So I'm just going to be blurry. It is what it is. But yeah, so I think for me, I would feel away a little bit because it is like something not like the idea of getting older and certain institutions or certain things just disappearing.
Yeah.
Bother me from time to time. And I think that's a part of growing up anyways. But like, I remember when they were talking about potentially getting rid of PBS. Like, you know, children don't need to watch Sesame Street and all this other stuff. And thankfully that, you know, PBS and a couple of other stations were helped by different companies. Like Netflix got the rights to Sesame Street. I think YouTube also has Sesame Street on there and stuff like that. And so it was like, oh, these are like cool things that should be preserved. Even if they do end, like, I think people should be able to still go back and see them. Right. As far as the other legacy shows, I think it would be weird not to have some form of SVU or New York, not New York Undercover. God.
Hey, New York Undercover News coming.
Okay. But like that something, you know, and part of me is like that because I follow Ice-T on social media and he's always talking about it. He's like, they brought me back for another season, y'all. So we up in here, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yeah, son. Like, you know what I'm saying? Keep working, you know? And just, you know, doing the stuff that he's doing it's just really fascinating to me. To have a job for that long and to like it. You mentioned Vanna White. Like, I think she took a minor break at a certain point, but for the most part, she's been one of the only people that's on the Wheel of Fortune the entire time. You know what I mean? That's a legacy thing. And she spoke about it, how much it meant to her and the fact that she could still do it, you know? And nowadays we don't really have that. You know, you look at Netflix, you get one season, maybe two. You know, seasons are 8 episodes long. You know, I was watching because I always watch A Different World. They have 27 episodes a season, you know, and so
that's
we
how
don't
it used to be.
Right. We don't have I don't think we have anything. Let me think. I don't think we have anything that's currently being developed that is meant to be to last longer than maybe 100 episodes. Right. What do you guys feel about in just that idea of like in terms of legacy and content, right? I look at this is one question I want to ask like content creators in general, right? A lot of our stuff that we make is timely. Like even the podcast, we talk about topics that are current. We might go back here and there, but for the most part, they're current. When you look at streamers, when you look at people playing video games and stuff and they upload it to YouTube, it's very current. You watch it and then you're done. I wonder though, is there a point where we think, are we going to make anything that's going to just be around and is timeless? Like, are we concerned with timeless, or are we concerned with this is going to get the most hits, this is going to get the most likes, we're going to make $1 million off of this, move on to the next episode? You know, I was looking at like Francis Berlisi, some of his content. It's hilarious stuff. And I think of like what he could potentially do if he made a show. But right now, I can understand not wanting to pivot because that takes a lot of resources. You might not, it might not make it, you know what I'm saying? But you have a hit thing that you're doing right now, right? But then I'm thinking like, do I ever go back and watch his old videos? And not only that, do I go back and watch videos that I haven't seen of his that are old that I missed? Probably not, because they're probably, he's probably not playing a current game. You know what I mean? So I wonder, like, if everything that we're doing is very timely, will we have any timeless content for people to watch?
I'm ADHD, so I will go down rabbit holes. So lucky, anybody who's neurodivergent, we don't have that problem.
Oh, man. Well, there you go.
I love watching like all types of content. I said it the other day on stream. I always, whenever I have a low moment, I go back to, there's a content creator by the name of Story Mode Bay. And she went and she streamed Kendrick Lamar's Juneteenth concert. And she had the chat on screen and everything. Anytime I feel low and I want a little pick me up, I go back to that day and that particular moment. She put it on YouTube and I watch it. And you just see everybody interacting, loving one another, having the emojis, singing the songs. It was such a special day. And that's a video I can continue to go back to and rewatch. And for me, that's, it's timeless. And there's a couple of content creators that have games like that I'll go back to and rewatch their playthroughs, or I'll rewatch how they reacted to this. But for the most part, I don't think they could pivot to stuff like TV shows for fear of it could get canceled. They're not making the monetary units they could be making by just streaming or creating that type of content. It's so easy to play the newest and hottest game and have viewers come and watch you for that. But if you're playing some old stuff, nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see the classics. They want to see, yo, that game is coming out on Tuesday. You playing it? You streaming that? I'm a beater. I'm a beater to watch that. But if you're playing something that's like 5 years old, a lot of times people don't want to watch that. And you need those views. You need that ad revenue. And you got to think about what's going to be best for your career and your future. So it all depends.
It's true.
I think that those are key points. You know, I think that when I think about it, I think of like Markiplier when he made the movie Iron Lung for that video game and how that did extremely well. And he sold it to YouTube, and YouTube is, you know, you can actually pay to watch it on YouTube as exclusive. Issa Rae, when she went from, you know, what is it? I forgot the name of the show that she had.
Awkward Black Girl.
There you go. And then that came in, that turned into Insecure. Or, you know, I am so bad with names right now. You know, Abbott Elementary, like the creator of that, Brunson, how she went from YouTube to BuzzFeed to, you know what I'm saying? So, and then they're making content that I'm like, oh, this is like, I would like to own, like, you know, some of these shows. I would like to, you know, be able to watch them and whatnot. So I just wonder, like, we do have some people doing it. But I always wonder, like, you know, where's our legacy stuff? Because we have, you know, I was watching A Different World, and they were doing the time capsule episode where they were like, what should we put in this time capsule? What is people going to want to see about us years from now? And I'm like, yo, I would have a hard time picking some stuff right now. Like, some stuff personally would be easy, but like in terms of worldly, I don't know.
Right.
That's kind of rough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But it's, I don't know. Interesting.
Well, I mean, in a way, like if we talk time capsule, in a way with some of the, like the content, we'll just talk about like shows, for example, not like, you know, YouTubers and stuff. But like with shows, especially these Netflix shows, they're almost like guaranteed to get axed. So it's like everything's going in the time capsule. In 20 years, we're like, when did that come out? What's that? Was that ever on TV? It's like, oh yeah, it was from the spring of 2026, 3 months.
That's it.
One season. Like, I gotta, some of this stuff just isn't, you know, if the opportunity just isn't there for the, it's, I know we, I mean, we discussed it on another show, but when we, you know, like, we had a good example of a bunch of the HBO shows that got axed, and like,
right.
We had Raised by Wolves, which was like a really interesting show. It's like, and then it's gone. You know, then they were like, oh, sorry, nope, you can't get a season three, even though 17 storylines were happening, no answers, nothing, just in the trash. You're like, okay. And like, and I feel like if we put that in the time capsule, right? And then like 20 years and 30 years, and people will be like, why did this get canceled? This was, what? You know, I feel like.
Well, I guess that is a plus, right? Because at least Netflix isn't removing the shows. Mm. Like some other people, like they're not removing them, that it's one season, but at least it's still there. You know, real quick, how do you guys feel about Wonder Man being canceled? I really like this show. And the fact that it got nominated for an Emmy, the fact that it was, they greenlit a second season and then was like, psych. Like, I'm like, what? Okay. You're playing with my emotions right now. I feel like Smokey.
A lot of people's emotions.
And it was just a weird thing. And then like, you know, I looked at the numbers, and they were like, not them, but like on the different numbers, or like, you know, in terms of viewership, I believe because it was binged when it first dropped, a lot of people watched it. But then the second week there was a sharper drop. And I think because people watched it, enjoyed it, no one's going to necessarily go back right away. Whereas shows that came on weekly would have a huge spike, and then it would kind of keep that up for a little bit.
Isn't that Netflix's fault?
Well, Disney Plus in this case, yeah, kind of. And but at the same time, I'm like, but you saw the spike. So don't you think there would be a spike if you have a season two? And maybe people who missed it because they were afraid they wouldn't get a second season would actually go and watch the first season. Like Daredevil, for instance, didn't have a lot of viewers for it, one of its seasons. And I guess the argument there was that it already had, what, four seasons or three seasons on Netflix already. Then it came to Disney Plus and had a decent season. And so the second one, even though it didn't do as well, it's like, we can bank on people coming back at the very least, because it's been around, right? But Wonder Man being a new thing, and I don't know the price to have these actors be in it, but viewership wise, the first week was really freaking good. So I'm like, this is an odd choice, like to be like, nah, we're gonna take that back, because they already started writing. You know what I mean?
I guess because I haven't gotten to watch it yet, and I have my Disney Plus, but whose decision? So it dropped. It was the full season dropped, right?
Correct.
So clearly, the same people in charge of this show were not in charge of X-Men. Like, we're getting weekly. X-Men is weekly. Mm. Wonder Man was a drop. Yet they're somehow upset. This was their choice.
I guess they were looking for Stranger Things numbers. I just don't understand it. Like, it's not going to sustain week after week. It, you have all eight episodes there. Like,
right.
Who's going to go back?
Netflix's issue. That was the whole thing with Netflix. I mean, Netflix is a really good, example, because Netflix has that whole thing where it's like the top 10 things to watch. And then you see how something comes out and it's number one. And then a week later, it ends up at number two. And then a week later, it ends up at number four. And you can just continue to see it because everybody watched it already.
Right.
Okay. And so it's just a very, to the point where Netflix has a couple of shows that they don't just drop. Like, Love is Blind. Love is Blind gives you three episodes each time. And mind you, everybody knows that the show is 2 years old. It was filmed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
And that's why people are so upset, because they're like, this is why when people, we don't understand, we have no, and there's no explanations, nobody's saying anything. People are just like, so you just don't like black leads. What else are we supposed to believe?
I don't like to say that mainly because I know no one likes to. Disney's about money. They don't want to make a show and spend a lot of money on it, millions, and get no return. So I will say in the terms of like, I can say that for if a show doesn't get picked up, like, hey, we have an idea for a good show. And you're like, nah, we don't want it. Totally understand that. But for a show that actually came out and it's potentially could win an award, makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, and then won an award.
Especially because award season, people come back. Like, this show is talked about, such and such gets an Emmy. People are going to be like, oh, we got an Emmy.
Oh,
let me go check this out.
Watch that.
Exactly. Like, I want to go see it now. You know what I mean? Like, that's perfect promo. That's perfect advertisement for this show. You know, I think it was a cost cutting situation.
Yeah.
I just feel like they did it so quick that they, how's the saying go? You cut your nose off to spite your face. Like, I feel like it was just too quick. Like, just give it a second season and see what happens.
Yeah. And see what happens.
I don't have millions of dollars, so I understand it might sound ludicrous, but if we're getting Wile E. Coyote finally coming to theaters, you can give us another season of Wonder Man. I'm saying.
Look, we still mad. Well, I say we, because I'm not on an island. There's a whole bunch of us. We're on Reddit. But like, we're still mad that you only gave us one season of Vampire Lestat. Because, and then you have actors coming out. Yeah, and they're saying, they're actually talking to people. And they're saying, yeah, so we didn't have the money. And it's like, what, AMC? You had 400,000, 16 billion, 511 seasons of that zombie show.
The Walking Dead, yes.
You got six different iterations of it. Fear the Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead. Daryl has his own show. Okay?
Just Daryl.
Daryl
and his friends.
Daryl and them?
Ray Ray and them.
Rick and Michelle. Daryl and his people.
I don't know what to call Rick and Michelle. You got all these. And then you got my favorite gay vampires. Okay? Right? Just being. It is literally good. Okay? Amazing. You broke one book into two seasons. Somehow you found the money for that, right? And then you went ham and said, hey, we're going to go full on Vampire Lestat, full the F1. And then screwed all of us over emotionally, okay? Heart out of chest, on the floor, been stabbed 16 different times. Razor blades, chef's knives, Santoku knives, okay? It's on the floor, I'm bleeding, okay? Because it's not right. And you gave us 7 episodes and then said, moving on, next book. We're lucky. We're all sitting here saying, we're blessed that we're getting a season 4. But y'all did that man dirty. Y'all did Sam dirty. You made him sing and dance and do all kinds of everything. This man was 16 different roles. The man had to go to the gym the man had to work out before filming. He had to go to work out, go to makeup, and then film. Because walk around without a shirt all the time, okay? Like, literally is the job. And then you said, yeah, so that was expensive. So we're only going to give you 7 episodes, and then we're going to go to the next book.
I got to see the books. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Wonder Man Romeo? Did you get to see the show?
I have not gotten to see the show, but I agree with Tess. That's why it's so hard for individuals to get invested in TV series, especially from live services like Disney or Netflix, because we fall in love with the show, we fall in love with the characters, and then you only get one season. Oh, we don't want to renew this. Oh, this was kind of expensive. We didn't expect to be paying these voice actors or actors this much money. And then you have fans being like, well, I don't know if I want to watch your next series because you just canceled that last one. And I really love that. I really was invested in watching that, but you canceled it. But they know stuff like nothing to knock about Grey's Anatomy. They know Grey's Anatomy is going to be on. We can recommend Grey's Anatomy because they ain't never going nowhere. They're going to keep replacing the cast of that show and all the other shows. But when you have something special and people love it, it's kind of hard to recommend it because they're going to cancel it, man. It hurts.
It does.
But you're telling me about this show, and I'm like, oh, man, I kind of want to see it. But, oh, it's not getting another season. I don't know if I...
I don't want to hurt my feelings. I don't want to be invested. I don't want to be like, oh, that looks so good. And then it's like, I did this to myself just recently when I watched Dark Crystal. Y'all, I'm still hurt.
Yeah.
I really am. My little Muppets.
You know, and you know, because I know we're coming up on an hour and we'll close this out. I think also it's short-sighted because they don't think about, I guess, potential merch. Like, I look at, like, The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead sold so much merch.
Yeah,
even when the seasons were down, they were selling a lot of stuff, like t-shirts, the freaking satchel that some of them wear. Like, who needs a satchel? But people are buying it. You feel me? Like, there's so many ways you can make this work that I'm like, I think you're being a little short-sighted. A cult classic can get you a lot of hits. It can. It really, really can. And that can bring in more people. If you have a loyal fan base, you have people losing their minds about it, you have people talking about it on social media, that's... You and Ash talking about this show made people want to go watch the show. I had no intentions of ever turning this mess on. And now I'm like, it is on. I have added it to my queue. I haven't got to it yet, but I've added it to my queue because I'm like, all right, y'all talking like this. I got at least look at one episode. You feel me? If people are doing this online all the freaking time, I feel like they don't give stuff chance to breathe a little bit.
Nothing.
And word of mouth does wonders.
Exactly. Speaking of breathing, I'm gonna try to breathe a little bit while I get through this. If you've been listening to this episode on Spotify, iTunes, and all those other places, we appreciate you. But if you're listening on YouTube, if you could just subscribe, hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming out. Also, if you are listening on those other DSPs, please mosey on over to YouTube and hit that subscribe button. We're trying to get these numbers up because we have plans, and those plans requires more viewership, and it's a little bit easier to make these plans work via YouTube than it is for Spotify and stuff like that, because Spotify has the Joe Rogans of the world. YouTube has a lot of big people, but in terms of podcasting, it's a little bit, you can get stuff shaking a little bit easier. I don't want to go into the numbers and such and all that and bore you. All I'm saying is share it with your friends, your enemies, your family, your exes. You can ghost. I'm telling you, you are allowed to ghost after, but they're going to appreciate it. They're going to hate you for the ghost, but they'll appreciate you for the podcast. They'll be like, you know what? I don't like this so-and-so, but he did recommend me a dope podcast. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. If you rock with us, also definitely go check out Romeo the Good Guy everywhere that he is. I will have his information down there below. Check out his videos. Check out the music videos that he does. The cuts and everything. Edits, pretty awesome. But then also check out his streams because he plays video games and whatnot. And they're comical. Not comical because... You know what I mean? Like, he don't know what he's doing. I mean, comical, like, his commentary is great. You go for the video games, you stay for Romeo is the type of stuff I'm talking about. So go check him out, and please come back. We need you to come back. That's my spiel.
Romeo, take us out. What you got?
Yeah, please make sure you follow these lovely people. I fell in love with them as creators because I'm going to be biased. They're Black, and I love... for anybody Black to win, but I fell in love with them, with their commentary, with the subject matter that they talk about, and the fact that they're relatable. And I come back every week. I skip around some of the parts because I don't want to get spoiled on some of the material, but I love this place. So please like, subscribe, and support these people. I kind of love them. I kind of love them, you know?
All right, y'all. Same thing I tell you every time. I'm definitely glad to be back with my face.
Yes.
You know, I had to get a new face zone on, so I'm here. You know, since a long time. We're back with the Wall Scrolls again.
Yes.
So anyway, the showman was over here. Okay. He's here. He's never going anywhere. but there he is right here on the wall. Anyway, and so, yeah. So remember, same thing every time. Wash your hands, wash your faces, wash your butts. Don't be a dick. Be a good person. Bye-bye.